Good morning, and welcome to Simply Startups. It's Sunday, April 14th. On today's show, No Name Security is closing on a $500 million acquisition by Akamai, while Empirical Ventures leads early-stage investment in deep science startups. Plus, Vana announces plans to allow users to rent out their Reddit data to train AI. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Startups. We start off with news from the startup world. Israeli cybersecurity startup No Name Security is reportedly in late-stage negotiations to be acquired by American software company Akamai for around $500 million. This comes after previous talks between the two companies failed due to differences in valuation. For more on this developing story, we turn to our startup correspondent. What can you tell us about No Name Security and why Akamai is interested in acquiring them?
No Name Security has developed a platform that analyzes configuration, traffic, and code to identify a broad set of API vulnerabilities, including misconfigurations and design flaws. APIs, or application programming interfaces, have become an increasingly critical part of modern software development. However, they can also introduce significant security risks if not properly secured. No Name's platform aims to address this growing challenge and help organizations better protect their APIs.
The reported $500 million acquisition price is notably lower than No Name Security's previous valuation. Can you provide some context around their funding history?
No Name Security has raised approximately $220 million to date from investors, including Georgian, Lightspeed, Insight Partners, CyberStarts, Next47, ForgePoint, and the Syndicate Group. Notably, the startup achieved a $1 billion valuation when it raised $135 million in a Series C round in December 2021. So the current reported acquisition price of $500 million would represent a significant disappointment and haircut for many of No Name's investors, especially those who invested in the later, higher valuation rounds.
What do we know about No Name Security's founding team and origins?
No Name Security was founded in 2020 by CEO Oz Golan and CTO Shay Levy. Golan was previously the director of engineering at NSO, the controversial Israeli cyber weapons company. Both Golan and Levy served in Unit 8200, the elite cybersecurity and intelligence unit of the Israeli Defense Forces. That unit has become a breeding ground for many of Israel's most promising cybersecurity startups and talent.
Putting this potential deal in a broader context, what does it say about the current state of the cybersecurity startup market and funding environment?
This acquisition, if it goes through at the reported price, could be seen as a sign of the challenges cybersecurity startups are facing in the current environment. With venture capital funding slowing down and valuations coming under pressure, many startups are being forced to accept down rounds, layoffs, or in this case, an acquisition at a valuation significantly below their previous high. At the same time, the need for innovative cybersecurity solutions continues to grow as threats evolve. Established players like Akamai see an opportunity to scoop up cutting-edge technology and talent at potentially bargain prices compared to recent years.
Thanks for that insight and analysis. We'll continue to follow this developing story. In other startup news, a new investment fund has launched in the UK to support early-stage deep science startups working on cutting-edge technologies like AI, quantum computing, and biotech. Empirical Ventures, co-founded by Dr. Jonathan Matlock and Dr. Ben Miles, has raised £8 million to back these complex but potentially transformative businesses. For more, we're joined by our startup and venture capital correspondent. So tell us, why is this new fund needed? And what makes deep science startups unique from an investment perspective?
Deep science startups are really at the forefront of innovation, working on advanced technologies that could revolutionize major industries like healthcare, IT, manufacturing, and more. But they face challenges attracting early-stage investment. Their technology is often highly complex and specialized, making it harder for non-expert investors to evaluate their potential. They also tend to have longer paths to market viability compared to other startups. So there's a real funding gap that Empirical Ventures is looking to address with this dedicated fund.
And how will Empirical Ventures go about supporting these startups beyond just providing capital? What's their approach?
The Empirical Ventures team brings a lot of scientific expertise to the table, in addition to the £8 million in funding from angel investors and a UK government program. The fund's co-founders, Dr. Matlock and Dr. Miles, have backgrounds in academia and experience spinning out a successful startup from the University of Bristol, so they can provide hands-on support and crucial due diligence for investors. They're also big believers in interdisciplinary research and strong intellectual property protection to help commercialize scientific breakthroughs.
It sounds like this fund is really trying to bridge the gap between the lab and the marketplace. Can you give us an example of the type of deep science startup they're looking to back?
One company in their portfolio is Encelitech, which is innovating in the vaccine cold chain space. They're developing methods to preserve vaccines without refrigeration, which could be game-changing for healthcare in developing countries and remote areas. It's a great example of a startup using cutting-edge science to tackle a real-world problem with major societal impact. And that's ultimately what Empirical Ventures wants to enable: getting more of these high-potential, deep science innovations out of the lab and into the market where they can make a difference.
Thank you for that deep dive into Empirical Ventures and the world of deep science investing. Now let's shift gears to another fascinating development in the startup world. In the generative AI boom, data is the new oil. So why shouldn't you be able to sell your own? From big tech firms to startups, AI makers are licensing ebooks, images, videos, audio, and more from data brokers, all in the pursuit of training up more capable and more legally defensible AI-powered products. But in many cases, the individual creators and owners of that data haven't seen a dime of the cash changing hands. A startup called Vanna wants to change that. Here with more details is our Simply Startups correspondent, Abby. So what exactly is Vanna trying to do?
Vanna is building a platform that lets users pool their personal data, like chats, speech recordings, and photos, into datasets that can then be used to train generative AI models. The idea is to give users more control over their data and allow them to monetize it if they choose. Vanna also wants to enable more personalized AI experiences, like a daily motivational voicemail based on your wellness goals, by fine-tuning public AI models on users' personal data.
How does it work from the user's perspective? What's the process of contributing your data to Vanna?
Creating an account with Vanna is fairly straightforward. After confirming your email, you can attach data to a digital avatar, like selfies, a description of yourself, and voice recordings. You can then explore apps built using Vanna's platform and datasets. The app selection currently ranges from ChatGPT-style chatbots and interactive storybooks to a Hinge profile generator. Importantly, Vanna gives users the option to self-host their data rather than store it on Vanna's servers. This allows users to control how their data is shared with apps and developers.
In this age of increased data privacy awareness, why would someone volunteer their personal information to a startup like this? Can a profit-driven company really be trusted with this kind of data?
It's a valid concern, especially given the spate of data breaches and misuse we've seen in recent years. Vanna's co-founders argue that the whole point of their platform is to give users more control over their data. By allowing users to self-host and govern access to their information, they aim to put the power back in users' hands. Vanna also has a unique business model. They charge users a monthly subscription and levy a data transaction fee on developers. The company claims this disincentivizes them from exploiting user data for their own gain.
It's certainly an interesting approach. Vanna has already raised $20 million from big-name investors like Paradigm and Polychain Capital. As the demand for data to train AI models continues to grow, we may see more startups trying to find ways to compensate individual data owners. Thanks for breaking this down for us, Abby. For Simply Startups, this has been David. And speaking of startup funding, Indian startups have secured a whopping 8.7 billion rupees, or about 105 million US dollars, in funding this week, according to reports from Entracker. Here with more details is our correspondent. So what can you tell us about the big winners in this funding bonanza?
Well, David, it was an exciting week for Indian startups across the board. In the growth stage arena, compliance automation platform Sprinto led the pack, raising an impressive $20 million. Other notable growth stage funding recipients included ReciCall with $13 million, Aviom HFC with $10 million, Axio with $6 million, and 5C Network securing $3 million.
And it sounds like early stage startups had a strong showing as well. Which ventures stood out in that category?
Absolutely, the early stage startups collectively raised $50 million. Some of the key players there included AI cloud and platform as a service startup NYSA, AI-powered revenue enablement platform GTM Buddy, underwater visual inspection services provider Planes Technologies, and pediatric behavioral health firm Butterfly Learnings. So a diverse mix of sectors represented.
Interesting. And geographically, where in India are we seeing the most startup activity based on this recent funding data?
Bengaluru topped the list with 8 funding deals, but Mumbai, Delhi NCR, Chennai, Kanpur, and Hyderabad all had a strong presence as well. It really highlights how widespread the startup ecosystem has become across different regions of the country.
For some context, how does this week's $105 million funding haul compare to what we've seen in previous weeks or months?
While substantial, it's actually a bit of a dip from the week prior, where about 30 Indian startups collectively raised closer to $173 million. But zooming out, the overall trend and sentiment still seems extremely bullish. Both investors and entrepreneurs are showing real enthusiasm and confidence in the potential of Indian startups to innovate and scale across sectors from AI and automation to health tech and fintech.
Thanks for the breakdown. It's certainly an exciting time to be following the Indian startup scene. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Startups. We'll see you back here tomorrow.